Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Okay, it's the Chicago Bears.
Dan Hampton, an Arkansas Razorback, played as a Chicago Bears defensive tackle from 79 to 90, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 02.
Ed Obradovich.
The Eli and I drafted to the Bears in 1962, part of the NFL championship team of 1963.
Glenn Kozlowski.
BYU Cougar, who played 6 years on the Bears, specializing in special teams and wide receiver. Mark Carmen.
You, Mark Carmen.
Yeah.
You're just a sexy young guy that doesn't know a damn thing.
Welcome to the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Win number 4 is in the books. That's right. Bears 24, the Jets 10. It wasn't pretty, but they got it done, and the Bears are very much in the playoff mix. Good afternoon, Hamp and OB with Cuz, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. The phone number to the show is 312-981-7200. Quick one today with you till 4:30 due to Blackhawks hockey, so we got to jam it in quick here. Hampo, takeaways off the top?
Hey, wins are always fantastic. We are so thankful that the NFL schedulers had the Jets come into town for
and
this
the Bills
little...
and the Bills next week.
Yeah, we've got a hangover special next week with the Buffalo Bills. But guys, you know, hey, we did what we had to do. But this, I'm telling you, John Fox is coaching for the Jets somehow, some way. He's on that staff somewhere, Kaz. I'm telling you, that looked like a John Fox coached football team that we're playing today. But more importantly, you know, and I know a lot of fans are not happy with the fact that we are taking exception to everyone wanting to put Mitchell Trubisky in, you know, the Pro Bowl this year. But we've got issues, and we'll talk about those. But more importantly, we were able to win as a team with a quarterback struggling and our best player on the sidelines. Khalil Mack, with his ankle, wasn't a part of it, OB.
Well, what I saw today, well, first of all, congratulations to the Bears. And also congratulations to the guy who schedules for the National Football League next week. We got the Buffalo Bills. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, what I saw today on that football field was there was not a lot of imagination in a running game or in the passing game and how you'd set up and et cetera, et cetera. But congratulations to the Bears. They played the dink and dunk game pretty damn good today, and they ran the ball very, very well. And I give that to the offensive line. That right side of our offensive line, if you watch the whole game, throughout the whole game, the right side of our line just crushed the Jets' left side of the defensive line. That's where Howard, that's where he made most of his yards. I mean, they moved him off the ball so far down, and they never let up. So kudos to the Bears' offensive line. And congratulations again. Now to the New York Jets. I've seen some game plans that are mind-boggling, but just let me say this to you folks. They played four quarters against the Bears. All you see on Darnold was he dropped back, he dropped back, he dropped back, and they ran up the middle, ran up the middle, ran up the middle. Third what the nine, hell? I could have right. came up with that game plan. But let me tell you what. Never once did you see him move the pocket to the strong or to the weak side. And what do I mean by moving the pocket? You go between the guard and put it basically on top of the tackle. Never once did you see a sprint out to the strong side or to the weak side. Never once did you see a bootleg or a naked bootleg to the strong or to the weak side. They stayed in that formation for four games. Thank God, whoever that dumb backside coach is they have, my God, never once do you try in an offensive game plan to move it out, go downfield and try to win a football game. And I'm telling you, that's what the Jets did today.
We might have to put you on New York radio. We'll be let you fire up.
I'm telling you.
They would be upset. New York's upset.
I sit there and watch it. It's right in front of you. My God, how could this? How stupid could you be?
I want to rewind back to where you started off on the Bears with the running game. Jordan Howard.
Offensive line.
Yeah.
Did it all. Give Jordan Howard his dues, whatever. But I'm telling you, our offensive line, that's the most valuable player or players of the game was our offensive line. They moved those people any way they wanted to move them.
Kazi, 22 carries for Jordan Howard, 81 yards. People have been complaining he wasn't getting the football. He certainly got it today.
Yeah, and it was a smart game plan. Actually, you know, when you're going against a team like the Jets and they're doing what they're doing, you run the football and you just say, you know, we don't believe you could catch up. And truly, if he'd have done that against the Packers at the beginning of the year, they would have won the game too up in Green Bay because they would have run out of time. So maybe there is a progression, though, but there is a progression or learning curve that, you know, Nagy's starting to at least understand on how to put yourself in a position to win.
But I thought he was an offensive coordinator, a coordinator that knew that running the ball is, you know, critical. But I digress. Let me just say, before we get into the callers, and again, please give us a shout and let us know how this little jewel of a athletic endeavor came off in your mind. By the way, this week.
You're not going to be critical.
By the way, before we get off on the fact that Mitchell Trubisky struggles throwing the ball on occasion.
My Lord.
Look, before we even say that, OB, you told me that this week, head coach Matt Nagy said, don't believe your lying eyes. He's not throwing the ball poorly. He's throwing it great as far as he's concerned, right?
Just let me tell you folks something. I'm watching television. I believe it was Monday night. Might have been Tuesday. Right around 5:23, you know, in the evening. And I'm watching one of the sports programs. And they interviewed Nagy. And he said to the fans, to the pundits, you people are not seeing the right thing.
Right.
He says, you're not. Mitch Trubisky is on target. I see it through my eyes, and every pass he's thrown, so to speak, he said, every pass he's on target. You people can't see this. If I had a baseball bat, I'd have whacked him right over the head.
16 yeah,
How dumb can you be to make a statement like that?
Well, then he comes
out. You insult the fans, you insult everybody in the press, because you know, because you see it better. Well, and we don't see it?
Well, he's going to back his quarterback.
Well, but there's ways to do it without being that ridiculous.
Yeah, how about you don't even go there for number one?
Let it go. Yeah, just let it go and say, yeah, there's things we need to improve on. That's a smart play by a smart head coach. But he said at halftime, well, he's got to get much more consistent. He's not hitting the right reads. So he actually changed his tune from what he said the week before.
He just made a U-turn.
He realized, okay, well, maybe they are seeing what seeing.
Missing our receivers by quite a bit, maybe.
Well, he had in the second quarter today, Trubisky was 2 for 9 for 17 yards.
He had a bad first half, actually.
Right.
He struggled.
It was woeful. Now, there was some discussion about the weather conditions at Soldier Field. We had some rain. We had some wind. It wasn't ideal to throw the football. Anybody want to buy into that?
Will you please?
I'm just telling you what they're saying, OB.
Again,
it's bad weather.
They are insulting the fans of Chicago. That wasn't bad. We know bad weather. That wasn't bad weather. That was ideal.
Yeah, he was inaccurate. And he was in the first half.
But what do we got to make excuses? Throw the ball.
Right. He had a tremendous third and fourth quarter. He did. I mean, let's give the kid credit. He went out there. He was more accurate. And part of it was because they started to run the ball, and now he would pull it back up and hit the guy up the seam or just behind the linebacker that was coming up. So we created it by being more innovative offensively. You allow the kid to maybe throw and hit some spots that he was struggling with earlier.
Okay, and is it my fault that the graphics folks on CBS had a graphic in the second half? It said, after he had three little dump-off check-down passes completed, it said, Trubisky, three straight completions for the first time today. That was about 3 seconds before he threw it about 20 yards out over everybody's head out of bounds. And I'm just saying, come on. And OB, you like to say this. Beating the Jets That is that what we wanted to do when we started this thing back in July? No, we want to go and win in the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. And a quarterback that throws the ball that poorly is going to prohibit you from thinking that way.
I'm telling you, we're going to have a difficult time with this kid. And if we get close to getting in the playoffs, you're going to start playing the better teams. You get in the playoffs, probably a little better defense. Little more mobile and a coach that will go down the field, and we have to confront that. And I'm going to tell you something from what I've seen so far, a difficult time. And going back to a coach that believes that his quarterback is an accurate passer and that everybody else does not know what they're talking about because they don't see it. He sees it how accurate he is. My question would have been that one time, well, what about it when he pitched it 6 yards out of bounds on a fly pattern? What about that one, Coach?
Well, there are a lot of them. Hey, a Tuesday on WGN TV News at 9, you got a lot to pick from OB. He was today was rough, I thought. And even the ones that were completed were behind.
Mark, is that a surprise? Right. Is that a surprise
for
you?
Yeah, but hey, look, they won. It's not who, you know, in the NFL, it's week to week. You got to win. And winning ugly is still better than losing.
Right.
Sure, getting crushed.
And the Lions lost their 3-4. The Packers have a very tough game against the Rams today, and the Vikings have a very tough game against the Saints. So the Bears very well could be in first place by the end of the day. Tuesday on WGN TV News at 9, in 2016, Russian hackers targeted the Illinois Board of Elections. How secure is next week's election? Joe Donlin reports Tuesday on WGN TV News at 9. It's 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on in here. Bears a winner. They're 4-3 as they knock off the New York Jets, 24-10 at 720 WGN.
Just 2nd and 10 coming up for Chicago. It's there. He's going to outrace his blockers and outrace everybody. In the secondary he goes, and he will not be caught. Touchdown, Chicago.
Touchdown indeed. That one got the Bears on the board. 70 yards. Tariq Cohn. Let's do the Marconi play we relish, which is brought to you by Marconi Giardiniera. You can put it on everything relish, all your meals, because Marconi makes it better. Hample, you want to stay with that one?
And, you know, not only that, but the kid, I mean, hey, look. What he did at the end, you know, touching that ball on the punt return, I don't know what he's thinking. He's got to get away from it. And, you know, that's almost, you know, an unforced error that is inexcusable. But he had 5 rushes, 40 yards. The guy was very valuable in the offensive juggernaut of the Bears today.
And our quarterback read the blitz, stayed composed, let them come at him and dump it off to Cohn. So he did a nice job of reading that blitz.
And OB's favorite guys, the offensive line, were downfield with.
Well, the funniest part was literally the two guys were standing right next to him when he caught it 5 yards down the field. Now, last time I checked, that's beyond the line of scrimmage. But
yeah, well,
Bears have caught in breaks, and worked well.
Let me tell you,
this
is Chicago,
best
isn't
play.
It?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You need to go any further
home.
Than that?
We were at home. I forgot.
But I tell you what, just to go back, and again, I thought the Bears' offensive line, boy, were they in tune today. I'm telling you, they pushed that New York Jets defensive line anywhere, any way they wanted, and that gave Howard a lot of. As a matter of fact, most of the time when he ran to his right, the lane was from the center all the way out to the end. I mean, you could have drove a Mack truck through there. But again, kudos to the offensive line. Kudos to the Bears for winning a game that they should have won. And now they go to Buffalo and take on Buffalo next week. Let's try to stack some wins.
And by the way, guess what? Buffalo's got New England tomorrow night, so they're gonna be a little bit roughed up by the time we get there.
Short week, and it's more on the offensive line. Eric Kush was out today with a neck, so it was a first start at left guard for James Daniels, who may be the Bears center down the line. But Hamp, you kept on talking about what you're seeing from Daniels.
I like
liked it.
You know, come on, we're a better line, and you know a lot of people go, well, the running game hadn't really worked. Well, guess what? Trey Burton is not an inline blocker. He doesn't move people. He's only 230 pounds, something like that. And then Kush struggles moving people. He's just not physically that big. But this kid, James Daniels, has got a great low end on him, and I mean, he can move people.
Yes, he can.
Eventually, I hope he's on the snap
center
of the ball.
Right, right.
But for now, for whatever reason, they want to leave him, you know, at a guard position that'll only pay dividends down the road when we need to run in the winter.
You know what? I the thing that I don't understand, I really don't. We have five tight ends on this football team.
That's because Kansas City has a bunch of tight ends, right?
So five tight ends.
Yeah, Nagy doesn't
one
know how to do it.
Look like
way.
He's doing nothing. The other one to look like almost he's doing something. One that can run block. One that can catch a pass, and the other one to wave to the fans. I guess
get them
five
fired up.
Tight ends on a team. I never heard of that. Have you?
Well, the New England Patriots did, and that's why James Hightower ran over Brunecker last week to block the punt.
Right,
you know,
right.
Evidently they have worth and value in the special teams, but as far as inline blocking, we still miss Shaheen.
Brunecker also left the game with a concussion, so we were down to four at one point there, just for the record.
It just
did not make it
to me.
Call the hospital.
And Burton is a, you know, he's a nice route running tight end, and he really works the middle well.
Hey guys, come on here. We couldn't have two guys. Max, maybe three tight ends.
Yep, I mean, most rosters
we couldn't
only
use
do
another
that.
Offensive line, another running back, another linebacker, another defensive back, cornerback, safety.
Yep.
Come on.
All right. I think we signed three wideouts to big money deals this offseason. Well, let's get to the phones and see what the fans got on their minds.
312-981-7200. We'll get to the calls right after the 3:30 news. But right now, more than ever, we need to turn to someone we can trust, especially when it involves protecting our family. Jeff Vukovich knows. He knows insurance. He knows you. Check out jeffvuk.com because Nationwide is on your side.
Hey, Mark, before we go, Jeff Vukovich called me earlier this week, and he just wanted to tell me that one of the football gurus in the draft said that the quarterback in college that was up to ready for the draft that had the most upside. Take a wild guess who he said.
I believe
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
A year ago,
Patrick Mahomes, he said he had the biggest upside. Now, Dan, how many? We got to go to a break.
There's an interesting piece that was published today by Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, a guy who's pretty dialed in, interesting words on how the Chiefs were looking at Mahomes and what was going on in that draft and how other teams.
Most of the teams identified him as the once-in-a-20-year quarterback prospect.
I said it until I was
once
blue
in the 20
face.
Year.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll touch on that.
We'll touch on that coming on back here. 720 WGN. Hampo B and Kaz, 312-981-7200 with you till 4:30. Blackhawks hockey coming up as well.
To the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win.
4-3 now. And you know what? Look, Packers are playing now. Minnesota has a tough game tonight against New Orleans, and they could be in first place again in the
Detroit
NFC.
Detroit got beat?
Yeah, NFC North.
Rematch of the NFC Championship game last year, Stephon Diggs running it in. When nobody thought that the Vikings were getting through that game,
did you see that? I saw this today in the morning, and the way that defensive back tried to attack him on the play, he turned his shoulder and he cringed and he took out the guy that could have caught the wideout. I mean, it was you couldn't have scripted any better. You know, that was a lot of luck involved.
Some
in
people
that.
Aren't made to play pro football.
Yeah, there's clearly was that defensive back shouldn't have been playing.
Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment. It's sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurney, Highland Park, and Merrillville.
I think it's when the Jets score, right, Kaz, and cut it 17-10. What happens? Well, our offense goes on an 8-play, 79-yard drive to go ahead and give us a little comfort with the 14-point margin and score a touchdown.
And that was really when our quarterback was at his most accurate on that drive. I mean, he hit a couple of balls over the middle that were nicely thrown passes. So he looked like he got comfortable.
He had a back shoulder throw to Anthony Miller in the end zone.
Yeah, I don't know if that was really a back shoulder throw as I think it was just a bad throw that the receiver adjusted to. Yeah, I do, but that's me personally. But it doesn't matter. I mean, we could, you know, It was a touchdown. So it really doesn't matter, I guess is what I'm saying.
You see Aaron Rodgers do this all the time. When he sees the defensive back's got his back to him,
yeah, he throws it
somewhere where the receiver can see it.
Right.
The receiver, Anthony Miller, I'm telling you,
Anthony Miller made a great adjustment
on it. And
caught the ball.
He's going to be a great player for the next decade.
And that's one of those draft picks that we, you know, the contrast from Pace. One really good one, and then one horrible. He just goes back and forth.
He's a number two that is five times the player the number one Kevin White is.
Yeah.
He was targeted seven times today, Anthony Miller. He caught three balls, and it's been going on all season where it's like Trubisky's almost allergic to him how often he's been open. He's overthrown him. I mean, that's been a theme.
See, and folks, that's what we're saying. Look, we're not carping about him not connecting on the 40-yard passes. Okay, I mean, those are 25%. We're talking about little wheel routes in the flat. He's got to throw them perfect 10 out of 10 times, and he throws it about 3 out of 10 times perfect. You know, if you want to have a finely tuned machine offense, he can't miss those.
No, those are the no-brainers. Those are what make you a pro quarterback when you get hit those passes. But I got one other thing. Josh Bellamy, we rode him hard last year because he would jump, and he really struggled catching the football. He has – I don't know what he did, but the kid has worked hard, clearly, because he's catching the ball much better than I have ever seen this kid catch the ball. And he's running good routes now, too. So he looks 100% better. What do you got, Ed?
Well, but here – this, to me, is very simple. This is the eighth week. We're halfway through the season already. And what I see, when I said talk to Mark last week, we are a dink-and-dunk offense with / trick plays in there. Every now and then we'll get the trickies. Had one today. But we're dink-and-dunk. We are not going to be a Green Bay Packer, a New England team. You're not going to be a team. You see the ball. All these balls throwing 40, 50, 30 yards, 60 yards down the field, that's not us. We're a dink and dunk. Now, we got Buffalo next week. That'll be a win. So I think we'll be at 5-3. Now we're approaching maybe the playoffs. But, guys, we're not all of a sudden going to abandon the dink and dunk / trick offense to go wide open. Not with Mitch Trubisky. Not with his arm. There's not a chance. So the only way that we can do it is if we can get this dink and dunk and whoever we're playing go at their weaknesses with the dink and dunk offense. Folks, you think I'm kidding? Just watch game every way for the last eight weeks going out this season. You watch and see how many times we attack downfield. We're going to do the same damn thing, and that's the only way I see it that we can win a game. If we go wide open like Green Bay or the rest of them, we're lost.
Well, let's talk about the Bears' defense, though, along the lines. You didn't have Khalil Mack today. K-Mix was all over the place. I mean, can the Bears win in your guys' mind with that offense, with this defense?
Yes.
You think so?
I'm going to tell you what. We could have won last year, the year before.
We've had good
today,
defense.
The way it's set up, it's an offense game. If you got a defense that can actually stop people every now and then on third down and from converting, you can win a Super Bowl. Look at New England. You think they went in there with the greatest defenses on planet Earth? No, they didn't.
Right, but for the Bears, they're going to need a top five defense, dude. I'm wondering if you guys are seeing a top five defense.
Okay, but here's one thing that I want to just add on to what OB said. The offensive system that obviously Matt Nagy has chosen to go down this path, how much better will it be if we have better more accurate throws in the dink and dunk?
Well, you have to be accurate.
Half of them are uncatchable.
And they're behind the receiver most of the time. Yep.
And so, and the defense, as far as just as OB said, New England was 27th in the league last year going into the Super Bowl, but they were top 10 in points allowed. So we can give up yards, but we just got to be able to score and then put people in a hole and then hopefully be able to rush them.
You got to have an offense today that you attack downfield, you attack from all angles. Folks, there's no other way it can be done.
Patrick Mahomes, I know we're kicking a dead horse here, but he had four more touchdown passes today. Chiefs were a winner.
Four more.
Yeah, he's got 26 on the year. So there was a piece in Pro Football Talk that we alluded to before the break. That Mike Florio, who's highly respected, very credible, put out this morning. And it's talking about, the headline was, for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes over Deshaun Watson was a no-brainer. And so I click on it thinking, well, what are they going to say about Trubisky, who was picked before both of them? But he's barely even mentioned in it. And so Florio writes...
Why do you think so?
Well,
why?
Well, let him finish with the...
No, okay, but I want to go back to why.
Because I think anybody who would line up the three wouldn't even... They wouldn't even put him in the team photo.
Right, yeah. He wouldn't have been there except for our general manager who moved up thinking Kansas City and New Orleans was interested in him. That's the part that I think Dan was getting at, right?
This is interesting, folks.
Florio writes, input received from multiple sources makes it clear that pre-draft work led to the inescapable conclusion that Mahomes was the far better prospect. He's talking about versus Watson. As one source puts it, Mahomes was viewed as a once-in-20-years prospect. The most obvious difference, Florida writes here, between Mahomes and Watson, as another source put it, came from Mahomes' accuracy on deep throws and overall arm velocity demonstrated by Mahomes. Another big factor was Mahomes' ability to make so-called funny body throws, which we've seen a ton this year. He's completing passes with his left hand, finding a way to deliver the ball with the desired oomph and accuracy when on the run or otherwise not able to use his legs or core to generate force on the throw. The knock on Watson, that's not a knock on Watson. He was regarded as a fantastic kid with a good skill set and a good college game film. So they liked Watson.
They were 1-2.
Right, it was 1-2, which makes it even worse.
Mentioned in this article.
So then, if we fast forward all the way down, he writes, it's unclear why none of the quarterback needy teams in picking in the first nine that year, of course that was the Bears, came to the same conclusion. Or why the media never caught on to the perception that Mahomes was regarded by multiple coaches who know a thing or two about quarterbacks as the best player in the draft. The West Coast Cowboy was all over Mahomes. Men like Chiefs coach Andy Reid, Saints coach Sean Payton, who probably would have drafted Mahomes and ended up trading Drew Brees, but they went 11th and he went 10th. Packers coach Mike McCarthy also knows a couple things about quarterbacks.
Yeah, so it tells you that. And, oh, by the way, the guy from Kansas City that earmarked him, the young guy, right. Young, he's now the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs. You think he didn't get promoted because he figured out that this was the best quarterback?
And then, you know, you want to flip it to the other side and take a look at what we got.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. Mike in Rockford, thanks for being patient. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
You guys aren't going to want to have me on because I'm not going to say anything nice about Mitch Trubisky. Listen, I respect all of you guys. You all play professional football. I played high school football, and then I played 1 year of a junior college at College of DuPage. And I got to tell you, I don't obviously have the talent to judge talent like you guys probably do, but I can tell you right now, and I was playing football since I was 7 years old, I can tell you if you can't hit an open receiver, and I don't give a crap if there's 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts out there, okay?
Yep.
This guy, I'm watching him roll out of the pocket. There's a receiver wide open. A receiver's got his defenseman beat by about at least 4 or 5 yard strides. And Trubisky throws 10 yards over the receiver's head. There's no excuse.
Yep.
And this is every single week. Every single week. It's not just every once in a while. And to me, guys, where the hell is the talent? Where's the talent? How do you judge? He threads a needle in there once in a while, and he'll make some really, really great throw. But 80% of the other throws are terrible.
All right, we got it, Mike. Let's respond.
No, no, hold on. Mike, yeah. I just want to tell you something, Mike. Right. You're wrong in your thoughts. You know why? Because Nagy said, you're wrong, we're wrong, everybody's wrong. He is right on the button. I'm telling you, it's the God's truth. That's what he said. And you guys can't see like what you don't see it. He says, but I see it. He's as accurate on every throw. So, Mike, I'm sorry to say, Cardi and Nagy, you're wrong.
But so you know, we've been, you know, you weren't in bad company. This show has been pounding on exactly what you just said for week one. Well, that his accuracy was way off. And Ed said from the beginning.
Not the change from last year to this year.
Ed said, look, at this point in your career and you've made it to the pros, you either have the ability to hit the open receiver or you don't. And you know, you can have games where you could get hot and hit the open receivers, but
you can have
far more worse games where you're going to miss.
Or you can have a drive where you do actually make some accurate throws like he did in the third quarter, and the offense kind of, you know, clicks. But you know what? We've seen this a long time coming. Thank you for your call, Mike.
Yeah. And Mike and everybody, and I've said it so many times, I don't give a damn, I got to keep saying it. You cannot coach accuracy. If this kid doesn't have it by now in this league, sorry.
It's gonna, well, he's going to be a Bortle. Look at what he's done now this year. I mean, he's basically benched now from Jacksonville. Because
he was cold and hot, but remember
when he had that big winding swing? Look at that guy's throwing motion.
But he sabotaged an AFC championship contender.
But Trubisky will be more effective than Blake Bortles for the sheer fact that he can run.
Absolutely, it
bails him out all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? How long is that going to pay the bulldog?
Very long. Yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm just telling you. Everybody goes, woo, he can run. OB went through it. That's why you pay running backs to carry the football. When you see a quarterback run more than two or three times a game, I'm going to show you a quarterback that's going to show up on the injured report pretty quick.
That's why you pay six guys up front to block so the guy that gets the ball can run with it.
Packers just score. I just thought I'd point that out. That's shocking to me, you know, that they're up 7-0. Took the first drive right down the field.
First time
the Los Angeles Rams is
on the road.
The last undefeated team.
For first time, the Rams and the Packers are playing in the Coliseum out in L.A. since 1978. And L.A. was a 9-point favorite coming into the Gamblers. Maybe the sharp guys, they bet it down to 7.5. So people like Green Bay today. We'll see.
What's amazing about that? Somebody forgot to tell Aaron Rodgers.
Or maybe they
Somebody slipped up and forgot to mention it to him.
It'll take a hell of an effort by him today. All right, quick timeout. Bears a winner. Adam Hogue coming up after 4 o'clock, 720 WGN.
Great call, Mike.
This is the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears 24, the Jets 10. The Bears are 4-3. Could be in first place in the North by the end of the day. We'll see. Right now, the Packers are leading the Rams 7-0.
And they're putting it on the Rams right now.
But I'm
tell
you
what, plenty of football left.
The Bears will be in the hunt. They will beat the Bills. I mean, it's impossible.
The next three weeks after that will kind of set determine who they're going to be, though, because they've got Minnesota, Detroit. You're right.
Whatever they do, they got to hone in, got to get whatever the dink and dunk, got to refine it and get it down, because nothing else works.
Right.
We don't have the people to make it work.
Bears win 4-3 from the text line from the 302. Give them some credit. Talk about Floyd. He's the problem, not the quarterback. It's a lot of text here. Wanting to support Mitchell Trubisky. And Leonard Floyd is not going to be the defensive star of the game, which is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com.
You know what those people are calling, and they love him, and they're good? That's fine. That's their opinion. That's good. I'm not going to argue with that. If they think he's a great quarterback and whatever have you to lead us to the Super Bowl, that's fine.
But the defense was, you know, they will. I will say the no-show, our number one draft pick, was a no-show again on defense.
What are we seeing from Leonard Floyd out of the side?
Nothing.
Zero. And
he had a chance to show it today, guys. He was the focal point. He had it. They turned him loose every down.
And
he no
did
excuses.
Nothing.
We go on the same Akeem Hicks for your defensive star of the game. He's all over the field.
Well, and you know what? It's not so much the stat sheet. He's just a force on the line of scrimmage, and you got to have people like that.
And he's tough. I mean, he will push people down. You know, he physically pounds people up front, so he slows down the offensive line.
I'll tell you what, that guy is a force to be reckoned with. You know what? I know he's very happy. You know why? Because we're into the fall. We're coming in the winter.
He's going to be able to rush and feel refreshed.
By the third quarter comes around, he's stepping on his tongue.
Yeah, well, Eddie Jackson needs to kind of straighten up. He has been bad in October. Today's penalty was inexcusable.
Yeah.
It's surprising that he's gone the other way, too. I just thought that Eddie Jackson was going to completely take off.
People start believing what they're saying about him, and he start believing what they're, in the papers. He's starting to believe that. No.
Yeah, that one guy exhaling today, Eddie Jackson, with the rough penalty that cost the Bears.
Well, that was just a dumb penalty. It was 3rd and 19. Know the situation. It was a 2-yard out route. Even if the guy catches it, you're going to tackle him.
Right.
He clearly dropped it. Just stop. Who cares?
Don't be stupid.
Right. That's just not smart football.
Let's get Wayne in Lafayette, Indiana on the program. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, guys. How's it going? OB, Hamp. Cause some of my all-time faves, man. Just wish Big Doug was there with you guys. He would be having a blast with this team right now. Thank God that the curse of Emery and Trestman is finally off of our team. And just like to know if you guys think like I do. I think Kyle Long should have been sitting out when he got hurt. I think he should have been the game was under control. I think people like Kyle Long, with a little bit of an injury history, should be taking it easy for a while when games like this are going. What do you think of that, guys?
Interesting, Wayne. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, guys.
I don't think so. Hey, look.
You're paid to play.
It was a play or two away from the game completely changing in the second half. Okay, we won by a comfortable margin. But let me tell you something. OB, you're talking about this Duncan offense. They're not clicking on all cylinders, and you're not going to get it clicking if everybody starts saying, well, we'll take this guy out, we'll take that guy out. We're already missing, you know, Robinson, our tight end, our best blocker, Shaheen. I mean, we're missing some pieces. It's all hands on deck. And the left guard, Cush, who I think, you know, should be, you know, supplanted by James Daniels. So these guys, the more they play together, remember, they didn't play in the preseason. Let them play.
It looks like a serious injury with Long. After the game, Matt Nagy said it was a foot injury. He didn't think it was re-injuring his ankle. I thought it was an ankle. Some people thought it was a knee. Whatever it was, he had to be carted up.
He got rolled up. It happens. I mean, you can't change that. I mean, it could happen on the first play or the last.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you're paid to be out there and play, and Kyle Long wouldn't want to be sitting on the bench. I mean, ask the kid. He would have said, hey, it's football. You know, right. Yeah, you have a history of getting injured, but that's because he wants to be out there and play.
I tell you what, the kid's a damn good football player. They got him at the right position at right guard. They tried him at tackle. He couldn't do it. He's got him at the right position. He's about as good as anybody in the league. And I'll tell you again today, him moving people off the line, that was terrific. So I hate to see the guy. I hope it's not something serious.
Yeah, well, it looks like it is, but we'll find out more, obviously, later in the week. All right, 4 o'clock hour. Adam Hoge will start it with this. Only with you till 4:30 today because of Blackhawk hockey. Bears a winner, 24-10, over the New York Jets, 720 WGN.
Look at this open. Howard keeps his head down and keeps on plowing ahead down to about the 5, running behind Charles Leno. 24-yard run. Best rush of the day for either side. Second and goal. Howard again. Howard's across for the touchdown.
22 carries, 81 yards, a touchdown. For a man who needed one, Jordan Howard he did get one last week against New England. It's number 3 on the year. It's Hamp, OB, and Kaz with you till the bottom of the hour. The injury report's brought to you by the Mancini Law Group, Kaz's favorite law group. One law firm, one promise, maximum justice, maximum results. Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field. Kyle Long rolled up. That was ugly, Adam. It was just kind of painful just to see the look on his face, knowing that he's probably got some rehab in front of him yet again. And this is a guy who's been there many, many times, too many times. What do you know about Kyle Long?
Yeah, so unfortunately, it certainly did look like a kind of a serious injury. I will say, if there's any bit of good news, it's that sometimes when you get season enders, right, they'll come out and pretty much say it right away after the game. That was not the case. Matt Nagy called it a foot. I asked for clarification to make sure it's not that same ankle that he's been dealing with the last couple of years, and he said he didn't think so. He thinks it's a foot. So they'll do some more testing. So I don't know that we can sit here for sure right now and say that Kyle Long's out for the year or anything like that. There might be some good news on the horizon, but certainly I wouldn't expect him to be back by next week or anything. So in the meantime, the Bears got to figure things out on their offensive line.
What did Mitchell Trubisky have to say for himself afterwards in his Mike Ditka outfit that Hamp's been loving?
Yeah, he even had the shades on when he first walked up there. I wanted him to keep them on the whole time, but he took them off. I don't know. Mitch, I think, it's one of those games where I think you're just kind of pleased to come out with the victory. It certainly wasn't pretty. His game overall wasn't pretty. He missed many throws in the first half. Thought he was a little bit more on point in the second half. Didn't make any excuses. It was certainly windy out there today, but he didn't want to talk about that as an excuse or anything like that. So I think, you know, I continue to at least be impressed with, for instance, the touchdown to Anthony Miller. He's reading defenses correctly. They knew on the screen they were going to get a zero blitz. On the touchdown to Miller, He changed Miller's route at the line of scrimmage. He told us that after the game, and then threw it kind of back shoulder where only he could get it. So I think another game where it's a mixed bag. Plenty of missed throws, but still overall, you know, he's quarterbacking the Bears better than most quarterbacks have quarterbacked the Bears in the past.
And that's what you're going to get with him. I mean, I don't know that it'll ever improve, but he'll give you that week in and week out where he'll have some of these good throws.
What was the deal with Khalil Mack, Adam? Any conversation about that after the game?
Yeah, the decision wasn't made until this morning before the game. I will say he was out there pregame kind of running around. He was actually running routes at one point and catching the football and throwing it 50 yards downfield. He doesn't look like a guy who's really, really hurt. I think the Bears made a calculated decision that paid off today, knowing that they're going up against the Jets offense that really wasn't that good to begin with and had plenty of injuries of their own. They felt comfortable they could stop the run, which they did. And so you beat a bad football team today without Khalil Mack, and he gets a week of rest. I think it was a smart move, and it paid off.
By the way, you know, amidst all this bluster about the game today, what about a guy named Cody Parkey missing another chip shot field goal? What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, the Bears' kicking woes continue. Robbie Gould has missed 3 field goals total since he left the Bears, or since the Bears got rid of him. And Cody Parkey already has 3 misses this season. It's been a problem. You can't blame the wind. It was still a kick he should have made. I was a little surprised Matt Nagy didn't go for it, given the wind situation here today. But it's something that continues to bear watching.
Well, Adam, the New York kicker had the same kick in the same spot and made it.
Well, I don't.
I mean, literally, like 4 minutes later, that's what made it almost, you know.
And by the way,
mind-numbing.
If they start all this nonsense about inclement weather, I'm looking out the window. There's a bunch of people riding around on boats out here in the river. So don't, you know, save it. I'm just saying, guys, look, OBE has beat it, you know, on the desk all year. This is a dink and dunk offense. You cannot afford to have a bum kicker. Unfortunately, we got a bum kicker.
And you got a kicker that you paid a 4-year contract and a lot of money for a kicker.
$15 million, 4 years.
Wow. Not guaranteed.
They, you know what's crazy about that, though, Adam? Every time you want to compliment Ryan Pace, you then scratch your head and go, what are you thinking? So, I mean, you see the one move, you know, Miller, I think he, barring an injury, this kid's going to be probably one of the best draft picks. You know, that they got this year, besides that the guard or the center that's playing guard right now from Iowa. But, you know, but then you have all these other ones where you just go, what are you thinking about? How do you make that mistake? How do you get a Glennon and give him $20 million and then exactly. Move up to get the other guy?
Yeah, and I think right now the Glennon signing and the decision to get rid of Robbie Gould are probably his two biggest blunders. Fortunately, you had another quarterback to take over, and you know you just said sayonara to Glennon, but the kicking thing they can't figure out. So,
how about his first round draft picks? We can those fair to approach. Kevin White, Leonard. I didn't play today, Floyd. And
well, I was on the field, but I didn't really play.
That, you know, our thrower that's not a very good thrower.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd. Here's the deal with Leonard Floyd. He's obviously not a first-round pick. You know, shouldn't have been a first-round pick. I don't think he's a full-blown bust because he doesn't kill you on the field. He's just not doing enough. And he's making tackles against the run. He's still got speed to cover to the sideline when he needs to. And I'm talking about running and making a tackle, not covering a guy like James White, which he obviously couldn't do last week. But he's not a first-round pick, and that looks like a mistake right now.
Adam. I beg to differ with you, and please, he was drafted to be a pass rusher. Do you remember that? Everybody thought this kid, college was it. He's the guy. Bears coaches, scouts, everybody.
Moved
he's
up
the
to
guy.
Get him too.
And and all you have to do is watch him from year to year, game to game, and the one thing that he's proven he is, he's not a pass rusher. Now I don't want to give a guy millions of dollars and draft him, number one or number two, to rush the passer, and he never gets there. So he might look good in pass coverage. He might look good in trailing or trying to catch a guy running a football. That's not why I drafted him. That's why I'm giving him all these millions. Therefore, the kid has not been a plus. He's been more of a minus than a plus. Number one, why again? Because he can't rush the passer. It's right in front of you.
You know, Georgia had another kid come out this year, and I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. I want to say it was like Lorenzo Carter or something like that. Almost the exact same mold of Leonard Floyd. And I think Leonard Floyd's early part of his career actually hurt this other kid's draft status this year because teams were afraid to take him. And I don't think he ended up going into like the third round, and I haven't really heard his name since. So, you know, maybe at least teams learn from what is looking like a
the
mistake
Bears
right
mistakes,
now from Ryan
yeah.
Pace.
Right.
Yeah.
He was taken 59 overall by the New York Giants, so that's a solid
round. Okay, so that's second round, actually. All right. Right. But it's not number 9 overall.
Or a move up to get to the number 9 spot to get him,
yeah,
too.
Right. Final takeaways, 24-10. Bears are 4-3. Could be in first place by the end of the day here. Let's throw some sunshine on this.
Well, look, you took care of business, and sometimes in the past we haven't been able to say that. And I'll admit a part of me today was worried that they wouldn't come here and take care of business against a team they should beat. Same thing next week in Buffalo. You have to win that one. Detroit lost to Seattle today. That should be a definite win at home. So it doesn't always have to be pretty, but you have to get these wins, and at least the Bears did that today.
Yeah, that you win in ugly is still winning ugly. That's what I'll say all day long.
Adam, great stuff.
Thank you, Adam.
As always, brother.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks, guys.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears a winner, 24-10. Beat the New York Jets, 4-3. Big credit, Soldier Field. Who brought it today? Sponsored by the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Card of Illinois. You know what to bring. Who brought it, Ham?
What about the J-Train? Jordan Howard. Finally, he breaks loose, 22 carries, 81 yards, and a tutty. And more importantly, late in the game, he gave us a physicality that we need. We really haven't showed this year. And you know what? Guess what? We need to show that against Minnesota, Detroit, and all these numbskulls we're going to have to be seeing in a couple
of weeks.
I'll
tell you what Howard should do tonight is take the offensive line out for dinner. And by the way, pick up the check.
Well, he did, though. The nice thing with him is when they give him enough blockers, he moves the pile forward.
They sure as hell moved them today.
Right.
That offensive line was terrific.
Listen to Alligator Arms talking about picking up chicks. All right, let's get to the...
Ed would grab it. He just can't get to his wallet. That's
Excuse
all.
Excuse me. Stop the show right there. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, Ed, just explain to him. Sometimes you have those long pockets, and it's just hard to get all the way down in there.
No, not my arm. They've always been there.
No, this guy is the most generous person on the planet.
I know.
Our best call in our final segment here is going to get it $50.
My ex-friend, Dan Hampton.
Our best caller in our final segment is going to get a $50 gift card to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets, family-owned and located at 144th and Pulaski in Midlothian.
Great food.
Yeah, it's the home of Chicago's best meatballs. OB, you're our caller rater, so you just let me know when you want to give it away. We are going to start with Bob in Aurora. What's up, Bob? Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. You guys remind me why I'm proud to be a Bear fan. Thank you. One thing, Maggie. He brings into town this offense. He's got Trubisky. They plan it together. Now, is it the fault of the planning or the execution? We're not getting any better. And this is not a playoff team. And one last thing. Nagy, every football field in the NFL is laid out north to south. And you'll find the end zone in the north side and the south side. Not the east and not the west. Obi couldn't be more correct in his assessment. I love you guys. I'd like to shout more, but I'll let you go.
You did a good job, Bob.
You're getting to get the $50.
Buttering up Obi is not really the way to do it.
But I'm giving it to Bob. I love the call because he said exactly what Ed has been saying for the last 8 weeks now.
He is.
Right? He's spot on.
Yes, he is.
You brought a smile to OB's face there, Bob. Congrats on the Bartolinis. But that doesn't mean we still can't bring the A game.
There's
on the calls.
More to come.
Thanks for bringing the history.
Hey, Tom, you're on the air, bud.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks so much. First-time caller. And thanks for all the history you guys represent with the Bears. I really respect you guys. I only saw bits and pieces of the game today, but listening to you guys, I hope I'm wrong about this, but with when it comes to Trubisky, initially I thought maybe, well, he needed some time to shake off the stink from last year's coaching staff. But I'm starting to realize more and more, even by, not just by his style of play, but his mannerisms, there's a robotic tone to the cadence, automated, like a robotic voice pattern. I'm starting to see a slightly glorified Tim Tebow with him.
Wow.
And that's my my honest perspective. And I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, that might be the best the Bears can hope for, and maybe it can work around those limitations, but that's just what I feel.
All right, Tom, appreciate it. We're up against the clock. You ready? Glorified Tim Tebow is about as worst I've heard.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but you know what? There's a lot about the kid that you like and you want to pull for. I'm just saying, OB has said it countless times, you can't teach accuracy. You got to be accurate. You got to know where the ball's going to end up. This kid doesn't have a clue.
Let's do one more call. Maurice in Avalon Park. What's up, Maurice?
Hey. Hello, gentlemen. The Bears should be 7-0 at this point.
They could be. You're right. They could be.
Yeah, they should be.
Where has Jordan Howard been used, except for tonight?
He hasn't been. That is what I was saying from week one, and everybody yelled at me. I said, hey, look, he's such a talented guy. There's a big value for him if you're going in this dink and dunk direction offense where you got the little fast scat back.
And guess what? It's going to get worse with this read option nonsense where they got Trubisky running an option play.
I don't know if you can say that if they gave the ball more to Jordan Howard, they'd be 7-0.
Hey,
but maybe.
Maurice?
No, but he's saying you got to run the ball, and this kid is a talented player.
Maurice, get used to the dink and dunk / trick. That's our offense. There's nowhere they can go with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, period.
Nationwide's on your side locally. That's our Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk.
Jeff personalizes your insurance needs. Been doing that for decades. Simply click to jeffvuk.com. Vuk is on your side. Blackhawks at Edmonton coming up. Thanks for listening. 720 WGN.